Thank you for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we'll be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
And this bread here in the holy place in the tabernacle speaks of God's provision, his covenant relationship with him. And so he provides for them the grain in the land to be able to produce that bread. And so again, it speaks of him being their provider and brings about, again, with this covenant that he is a great provider of the grain in the land in order for them to have this special meal that speaks of this covenant relationship. Well, who's going to provide the bread of life? God does in his Son for that new covenant in the person of Jesus, to which we take always on the very first Sunday of the month communion, to which I just read in Matthew that this bread represents his body and this wine represents his blood of the new covenant. So the bread, God speaks of God's provision, covenant relationship, and it speaks of God's provision of his Son in the future of that new covenant that we are going to have. And so now we look at the lampstand made of pure gold. He also made the lampstand in Exodus 37:17. He also made the lampstand of pure gold. Of hammered work, he made the lampstand, its shaft, branches. You're going to see as this is explained, it's kind of like being described as a tree. This is supposed to somehow look like a tree. He made the lampstand, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, its flowers were of the same piece. Six branches came out of its side. Three branches of the lampstand out of one side, three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. There are three bowls like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and flower. These bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and flower. And so the six branches coming out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself were four bowls made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. There's a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches extending from it. Their knobs and their branches were of one piece. All of it was one hammered piece of pure gold. He made its seven lamps, its wick, trimmers, and its trays of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold, he made it with all its utensils. And so here's a look of what that might have looked like over here. So again, we have this. When you go to Israel with us, this is the one that you see in the Jewish quarter. Okay. And so this is how some other people say it might have looked like. Okay. But the way that it's described, how it needs to be made out of one piece, hammered work out of one piece of gold, nobody's able to do that to this day. Nobody has been able to make it according to what is said here. And the notice, no dimensions are given, okay? But to try and make it out of one talent of gold and to try and make it to where it doesn't topple over, they haven't been able to figure that out. So when it says how God is the one that gave Bezalel the wisdom and the understanding on how to make all this stuff, that to me is wild, because I look at that and say, it looks like he only gave it to Bezalel and nobody's ever been able to figure it out since. They haven't been able to figure it out since. So now what's the purpose of a lampstand? Obviously to give light. If the lampstand's in there, how much light do you have? Zero. It's pitch black. It's covered by four coverings. The infrastructure, as we went over, these boards are overlaid in gold. And so you have on the walls there, all the inside walls and on the outside walls, it's gold, overlaid in gold. So it's just shiny gold on the inside. And on the top are all the coverings, okay? And then you have the veil going across, separating the two rooms. And then you have the screen in front of going into the tabernacle. That is now closed up. If you were to walk in, it would be pitch black. So obviously the lampstand is to give light. That's for sure. In Leviticus 24, 1 through 4, it says this about the lampstand. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting. Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statue forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. And so it is there to provide light. Aaron is the one that's in charge of making sure that the lamp is always lit, okay, in the morning, in the early evening as well. And so this lampstand, although it's to give light, it also represents the tree of life. That is why it's so heavily decorated with branches to represent the tree of life and flowers and blossoms to represent the fruit of the tree of life. This lampstand represents light and life. God said, let there be light on day one. And then after that, God created what? Life. The rest of the days. So light and life go hand in hand in Scripture and points to God being the giver of light and the giver of life. And there is a tree of life in the midst of the Garden of Eden. And so this lampstand represents the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And there you have the lampstand in the midst of the tabernacle as a symbol of life-giving power. And who is the life-giving power? God. It is the Lord who is the giver of life. And all life and light come from him. This is why we read in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Because in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so we know that's speaking of Jesus. In him, Jesus was life, and life was the light of men. And so light and life go hand in hand. And so the golden lampstand taught Israel to look towards God for life, with light and for life. And today we know that the life and light is a person of Jesus. We read this in the New Testament. In John 3:15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life comes through Jesus. John 6:40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees. The reason you're able to see the Son is because he's given you the light to be able to see him, okay? And believes in him, that's what's up to you, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. In John 8:12, it says, and Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And so the light of life, as Jesus speaks, can only be obtained through faith. He's going to reveal himself to you, but now it's up to you to receive that light. And if you do, then you'll have life. Then you'll have life. In John 3:17, it says, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world, he wants to save everyone. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because the deeds were evil. You know what that's saying? It's saying the reason why you're condemned is because light has been given to you. You have been shown that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But you enjoy darkness rather than light. You want to continue in your evil deeds. But light has been given to you. It's been explained to you. You've seen it. God has led one obnoxious Christian after another into your life. But it's still light. And you know. And you know. And you could either receive that or not. And the reason you don't is because you really do love the way you're living your life for the world. And the evil deeds, they're fun to do. Sin is fun, and nobody would do it. Nobody would do it. So, but you rather have that than eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ and submit to him. And so Jesus is the light, and he is the life giver. Again, so much more. But we've already gone over that. Golden altar of incense. Verse 25 of Exodus 37. He made an incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was a cubit, its width a cubit. It was a square. 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of one piece with it. He overlaid it with pure gold. Okay, to overlay means that there was something in there. And, of course, that's the acacia wood. Its sides all around, its horns. He also made it for molding of gold all around it. He made 2 rings of gold for it under its molding. By its 2 corners on both sides as holders for the poles with which to bear it. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he also made the holy anointing oil, the pure incense of sweet spices, according to the work of the perfumer. Now it's in Exodus 30, verse 6, tells us where this piece of furniture is placed. It says, and you shall put it before the veil, that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that's over the testimony, where I will meet with you. And so again, here's a picture of that. It shows it before the veil on the other side is where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat would be placed. And so that's where that stood. In Leviticus 16:18, it's actually called the altar that is before the Lord. So when a priest would go before the golden altar, he was standing before the Lord. And so the priest would offer up incense on the altar. This would fill the tabernacle with a pleasant fragrance, which represented the prayers of Israel before the Lord in heaven. King David makes this obvious when he says in Psalm 141:1, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. And so the understanding is that incense is a picture. It's supposed to portray the prayers of Israel going before the Lord. We get this understanding confirmed in the New Testament. And it says in Revelation 8:3, that another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And so here, the golden altar of incense, you have the priests would offer up the praise and thanksgiving and Israel's petition before God, thus showing that God is a God who hears our prayers. And so as we kind of encapsulate all this furniture, we see the Creator God, the one who is going to dwell in the presence of Israel there in the tabernacle. Between the cherubim above the mercy seat is where he is going to meet with them and speak with them. The God who offered mercy and forgiveness through the blood sacrifice upon the mercy seat. He is the God of provision, sustenance of the grain of the land to give them the bread and fellowship of his presence. He is the God of light and life who illuminated their way, and he is the God of intercession that hears their prayers. And this was available in God's house, his tabernacle. Dutch minister and theologian Dr. Cornelius Trimp said this: in the Old Testament dispensation, 2 things were valid with regard to Christ. He was there already and still had to come. Understand that God has never saved anyone except by the grace of Jesus Christ. The Israelites were saved by trusting in the Savior to come, as he was represented through the tabernacle and the rituals of the tabernacle, which always pointed to the Messiah, as we've been showing every piece of furniture. Points to the Messiah to come, Messiah to come, Messiah to come. They looked ahead to their Messiah through the tabernacle, which pictured the death of their Messiah, while we look back at what the Messiah did after his death. But we all are saved the same way, through the Messiah, through God's Son. So it begs the question, what is God's house today? Well, we shared that last week, that God no longer dwells in temples made with human hands. So when we leave here this afternoon, and there's no human being in here, then guess what? God's not here. Because he now tabernacles with you. You are the temple. We read in 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. He's speaking to believers. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And so today we are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of the living God. And guess what? Because of God's presence is now inside of us, I believe that those pieces of furniture that are inside the holy place there speaks of our relationship with him. I see these three things. I want you to go to John 1, 1 through 2 again. Go to 1, 1, John 1, 1. John 1, 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. I think that we still need to feast upon the Word of God. Because Jesus said, what? I'm the bread of life. If he's the Word, okay, and he's also the bread, then we are to continue to feast upon him, his Word. His Word. We need to continue to do that. In our relationship with God himself, the Bible says you can boldly go into the throne room of God. I love that. You can boldly go into the Holy of Holies now. Now that he dwells in you, anytime you stop to pray and seek God, you're in the Holy of Holies. You can do that as a child of God. You cannot do that as a grandchild of God. There are no grandchildren in God's kingdom. There's only children. You have to come to saving faith. And once you do, you become a child of God. And as a child of God, you have access to his throne room anytime. He's never too busy. That's what's so wonderful. My kids growing up, guess what? They can march into my study anytime. I could be in prayer. I could be studying the word. Whatever it is, they could walk in at any time. And they would have my full attention. There was no do not enter on my door going into the study or anything like that. They have access to me. You know why? Because they're my kids. They're my kids. Now, some of my kids' friends might march in. I could get out. You're not my kid. If you have a question for me, ask my kid. My kid can come in here, and then they can ask me. Okay, but you do not have access into the Holy of Holies over here, all right? All right? My kids, you're not my kid. Love you, not my kid. It's the same thing with the Lord, okay? We can walk in anytime. And so the moment that we start to feast upon the Word of God, guess what? We are there in the Holy of Holies, right there, still feasting, still have the table of showbread right there. It speaks of Jesus. You're feeding upon his Word. You're feeding upon him. And the next thing that we see there is the light, the life giver, the life source, and everything else. I believe that speaks of the Holy Spirit. Go over here to John 16. And so in John 16, Jesus himself says in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of truth. He's called the Helper. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I'm not saying you have to do this every single time. If you do, I think it's a good thing. If you think it's a mantra or a special formula, then don't do that. But it's kind of like when you're reading the Word of God, and for whatever reason you're being distracted by your own thoughts, whatever it might be, I go, man, this is the third time I've read this chapter. I've not heard anything, you know. Stop for a moment. Just say, okay, Lord, I'm asking that through your Holy Spirit that you would lead and guide me in truth as I go through this chapter. Lead and guide me in truth. And watch what God does. I would like to say I do this every day. I'm such a spiritual man. I do this every day. Every time I'm about to read, I always pray that prayer. I don't. And sometimes I get stuck with something and go, you know what? I haven't prayed that. So I stop and I just say, Lord, the Holy Spirit is inside of me. I'm asking that you would illuminate to me, lead and guide me through this chapter, maybe this area, personal, you know, application for myself as I'm reading this. And it's amazing how God then begins to reveal things to me. And it's not as though you have to do that every single day, throughout the day, all the time, as you open up and start to read the Word of God. But if you're ever stuck, that would be a great thing for you to remember to do. You know, pray that prayer and just see if he does not just be that guide for you to illuminate the scriptures for you. Because here we're told that he will do that. And then the third thing that we see here is that you have the golden altar of incense. That's where prayers go up. We have a God who hears. We have a God who answers prayer every single time. It's interesting to me how sometimes I'll have one of you come up to me and say, you know, God's just not answering my prayer. That's a lie. He always answers your prayer. Well, I prayed for this and it's not happening. Okay, do you think maybe the answer could be no? Huh. Do you think answered prayer always means yes? Do you not have kids? I have answered my child every single time they have gotten an answer. And my favorite response has always been no. No. Why? Because you're a child. I'm not. No. Every single time. Every single time. Sometimes the answer is wait. A child would rather hear no than wait. Dave Love would rather hear no than wait from the Lord. Waiting's tough. Waiting's tough. But God always answers. Go over here to Philippians chapter 4. There's so many different places you go for prayer without ceasing. I mean, there's so many different things that we can talk about. But here in Philippians, I think, encapsulates it all. Because he begins here in verse 6 of chapter 4. He says, be anxious for nothing. Oh, can you imagine if that was just a complete statement right there? You know, that would be our counsel to you. That when you come to it, hey, I'm really sure. Hey, be anxious for nothing. Hey, you seem to be worrying. Yeah, don't. What? You know, I'm worried about this. Stop it. That's the answer. No, it's not. Here's the reason why you're to be anxious for nothing. You put it into the hands of the person who is all sufficient and can do everything. And that should take the anxiety away. He says right here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's something about whatever is causing your heart to be anxious as you pray and give it over the Lord, encapsulate it with, there's a lot of things you can be thankful for. Okay? That before and after, those supplications bring forth first thanksgiving first. What can you be thankful for? I'm thankful for this, this, and this. Okay, now as you pray for this, because you're thankful for all these things God has done, it will quiet your heart not to be so anxious now that you're putting in the hands of the one who is all sufficient. Okay? And so be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Have you prayed about it? Have you made that request known to God? Yes. Then he's going to answer it. He is going to answer it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I have a tremendous peace when I'm anxious about something. I say, okay, I'm going to get in a quiet place. There's so many things I could be thankful for, Lord. I'm going to thank you. And here is something that's on my heart to pray for. And so I'm asking that you bless and hear my petition, which I know you will. And however you answer, that's going to be a good thing because you know what's best for me. And so if the answer is no, that's good. I want to know if you're saying wait, okay, I'll wait. There's something in the waiting process that you want to purify me, you know. And when he says yes, hallelujah, you know, that's always wonderful as well. But the anxiety goes away. I put it in God's hands. There's nothing else I can do about it. I put it in God's hands. And he's the all-sufficient one. And so as we boldly go into the throne room of God and we're there to feast upon his word and the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us in truth, and then we have the one who is all-sufficient that we can always bring our requests to, that gives you that peace right there, that peace which surpasses all understanding. It guards your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. But have you given it over to God? Let's pray.
We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.